Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded October 8th, 2025. Well, it was a tough beginning for French Prime Minister Sébastien Lecornu, the country's fourth PM since President Emmanuel Macron's snap election gambit just more than a year ago. Lecornu's first day on the job was met with nationwide protests by the Bloc en Tout, or Bloc Everything movement. Like the pre-COVID Gilets Jaunes, or Yellow Vests, Bloc en Tout is both an expression of general French dissatisfaction and a special disdain for Macron. But all that's not Sebastian's problem anymore. He quit Monday after just a month in office. Diana Johnstone is an American author and journalist who's lived and worked in Paris, following and writing about French and European politics for several decades now. Diana, too, served as press secretary to the Green Group in the European Parliament, an experience recounted in her latest book, Circle of Darkness, Memoir of a World Watcher. Johnstone's other book titles include Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions, and From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning, co-written with her father, Paul H. Johnstone. Her essays on global affairs can be found at consortiumnews.com. Diana Johnstone in the first half. And every new morn brings news of more Trump regime violations of America's Constitution. As of writing, the mayor of Chicago is circling the wagons against ICE attacks. And though the new iteration of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency has been widely compared to Hitler's brown shirts, for black residents of Chicago, its goon squad behavior and masked soldiers may remind more of the slave patrols and Ku Klux Klan of old. Dave Lindorf is an Izzy Award-winning investigative journalist, author, and founder of the web news site This Can't Be Happening. Dave's book titles include This Can't Be Happening, Resisting the Disintegration of American Democracy, and his latest, Spy for No Country, the story of Ted Hall, the teenage atomic spy who may have saved the world. Dave's recent article at This Can't Be Happening's Substack site, Building Trump's Personal Army, One Federalized National Guard Unit at a Time, examines the militarization of America's red-blue divide. Dave Lindorf and brewing civilian war in the not-so-United States in the second half. But first, Diana Johnstone and blocking Macron's farcical cirque politique. Welcome back to the program, Diana.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course, as always. Diana, I was prepared to talk about the newly in-place Prime Minister, Sébastien Lecornu, but he aged faster than Liz Truss's lettuce. Diana, what does the fall of yet another prime minister mean for France politically?
Well, the country is in a huge mess, and I don't see any way out of it. Macron is extremely unpopular, and even his closest associates, such as Edouard Philippe, who would like to succeed him as president, have been suggesting that he should resign. Of course, Edouard Philippe is interested because he would like to be elected in a early presidential election. But unless he resigns in the next hour or so, he doesn't seem likely to do so. He has shown no inclination to do that. Of course, there are always surprises. But he's sort of running out of governments. The socialists seem to be wanting to get in as the next sacrificial lamb. They're trying to get in to have be the next prime minister, but I don't think that would necessarily last very long either.
Well, we've talked before about how Macron called this snap election just over a year ago, in July of last year. It's been chaos since. This will be the next prime minister, should one even appear, will be the fifth in that period. France has a different political system than we're used to here. And one of the quirks is that the president and the prime minister are separate entities and can exist independently, is what's been happening. Macron still has the foreign affairs and the international relations and everything on his mantle. And so he just seems to be happy to continue on with that. And he seems so arrogant that he, although not having a party mandate or any legitimacy politically in the parliament, he is determined to stay until his term runs out. He's said on several occasions until 2027. Is it that kind of arrogance and recalcitrance on his part? Is that part of the reason that the French people think so lowly of him right now?
Well, they think so lowly of him on every possible grounds, I think. But of course, part of the reason that they think badly of him is that, in fact, he's been carrying out the policies of the European Union. But as I've said before in these encounters, the problem is that people never, so far, the French people, very few of them, blame the European Union. They say it's the fault of Macron. But then you'll get somebody else who will do the same. Maybe if it's Edouard Philippe, and they'll say it's his fault, but he'll be doing what the European Union tells him to do also. And I think until the French wake up to the fact that most of their problems come from the European Union, I don't see any solution to this.
Well, and it's not just in France alone that we see this. Germany is perplexing everybody by basically cutting its own throat economically over the past few years, since Nord Stream especially was blown up, that they owned, they were a half owner of that, and it cut off all of their cheap imports from Russia. It seems all the countries are subordinated to this supranational entity, the EU, which was never designed to be that. You've been in that parliament. You know what it's about. How did it grow into this entity? And is there any reversing this move away from national sovereignty in Europe?
Well, Europe is, in fact, despite the current difficulties between Trump and the Europeans, it's basically a satellite of the United States. Mm-hmm. And the European Union is sort of set up as a way for the United States to dominate Europe, because it's easier to dominate a single entity than a bunch of nations. So that's, it's always been an American project to have this European Union. And the policies, including the war in Iran, in Iran, well, that hasn't started yet, but it will, in Ukraine, and the alliance with Israel are dictated by the United States, and the Europeans follow that. And as for Germany, you see, it's been doing itself the most harm, but it's not being very good for everybody else either, because it's also, its policies have been quite destructive of the French economy. I maybe want to go into that. I maybe don't want to go into that, maybe especially energy policy. But this horrible new German Chancellor, Merz, is saying, well, we don't have enough money to keep on financing the social benefits we've always financed, but we have plenty of money to turn Germany into the arsenal of Europe, and we're going to make drones by the million, and Europe's protection will depend on Germany. Well, there are a lot of people who aren't German who don't really savor the notion of Europe's security depending on Germany. And in fact, that's one reason that they've always supported the United States, because it isn't Germany. I'm sure the French don't like this, but they're not paying any attention. One of the weird things, I've mentioned this before, all of this political confusion is not creating more politics. It seems to be distracting from politics. People are counting out how many votes does this party have or that party. And it almost seems that electoral democracy is a good way to kill democracy, because all this figuring out which would be a majority and which wouldn't, that nobody talks about major issues.
Well, that's on this side of the Atlantic as well. There is resistance in the streets, though, and across Europe and in France too.
Not so much in France, m less than in France, less in the streets, somewhat, a little bit,
Well,
but
that ruins my intro because I was talking about this new organization that is in the footsteps of the Gilets Jaunes. Blocking everything, as they would say, the bloc en tout. Is this bloc en tout then just a flash in the pan?
no, I haven't noticed it. It so far, it hasn't worked. I mean, the body politics is extremely inactive. They complain about Trump, they complain about this and that. But I've said this before, and I have to say it again. The Zionist control of France is extraordinary, and I mean of the French media in particular. I know the Zionists are now buying up all the American media they didn't already own, but here the influence there is not the critical. I mean, I know that what the government is like, the U.S. government, couldn't be worse as far as Palestine is concerned. But there are a lot of critics of that policy, especially certain very intelligent people like Jeffrey Sachs and the Gray Zone and all that. And you don't have that here. The only people who are paying attention to that is the Mélenchon party, Les Insoumis. And they, of course, are then for that, they are being labeled as terrorists, supporter of terrorists. That's the reaction to anything that is favorable to the Palestinians is simply dismissed as anti-Semitic terrorism.
Well, there was a big peace or anti-war meeting in Paris on Sunday, international meeting against the war. It drew people from around the world, and there I saw some police repression of their demonstrations, and there's still people displaying Palestinian flags and stuff in marches against what's going on in Israel and Palestine in France too. Despite the control of the media on the street, there's still resistance, is there not?
Oh, there are demonstrations all the time. I think there's one today. There are demonstrations all the time, but they tend to be small, and they get no media coverage whatsoever. And that makes a big difference because we're so much ruled by the media. People's impression of what's going on is what's in the media, and this is t completely ignored by French media. And the demonstrations aren't big enough to really make an impression. On the other hand, I just was talking today to one of my grandsons about the milieu, his milieu, which is teaching. It was the school teachers and so on. And he says they have become totally in support of Les Insoumis and Mélenchon simply because of Palestine and Israel. That's the only party that and it has a very low score in the polls. And the rest of the left is boycotting them, is doing everything to weaken them. That's why the Socialist Party is offering to join the Mélenchon, the Macron government, also anything to weaken les insoumis, that is to weaken the one party that is in support of the Palestinians.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Grill Radio. I'm speaking today with Diana Johnstone, American author, a journalist. She's lived and worked in Paris for decades now. Her latest book is Circle of Darkness, Memoir of a World Watcher. Well, the issue then, let's focus now. The outgoing prime minister, the latest, he promised that he would not invoke the special clause 49.3 that would force through the unpopular budget bill. That's an austerity bill, and we're seeing austerity being rolled out everywhere across the Western Empire. Did his failure to go along with Macron or anyone else that would force through using this special clause that says they can disregard the parliament and just ram down unpopular policy, make it into legislation regardless. Is that behind the departure of Le Cornu?
No, it isn't. It's what triggered the departure was that he brought Le Maire, Bernard Le Maire, back as a minister of war, in fact. And Retailleau, another one, a Republican, didn't like that. And I mean, it's just so it ends up quarrels of two right wing, center right, or right wing politicians. Not one. I mean, so it's not worth even discussing. That's what I mean. You see, all of this personal stuff. It had, and then Elizabeth Bon, who was one of the previous prime ministers, has come along with something better than Le Cornu's proposal, which is meant to lure the socialists by saying to suspend the law that she put through to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. And that is in order to try to assuage the left and get a left government, left, that is to say, the socialists. But the thing is, that is the only sort of left issue they have, but it's also one that, in the absence of an economic industrial policy, is very questionable, because Marx is talking of raising the retirement age to 73, and France has raised it from 62 to 64. Well, since they're all in the same union and competing with each other without any protection, this is just going to weaken France more economically, in the sense of its cost, the cost of pensions.
This sounds like a total clown show.
Well, I know, but you see, I don't think that that's the issue. I mean, I don't think the real issue. I think the real issues are the wars,
right?
And what kind of economy do you have to pay for all these social welfare things? The problem is the deindustrialization of the country, which is encouraged by the international agreements made by the European Union and by the German hostility to France. Has had a good energy policy, which helped it be competitive. It had an advanced nuclear power thing. It has good hydraulic power. And Europe is demanding, because their religion is competition, is demanding that the French must open the ownership of their hydraulic dams to international capitalism. So the French could buy up the Americans or the Chinese, or I don't know who, could, with enough money, could buy up France's water supply, hydraulic energy supply. I mean, this is insane. You see, you can't, because it gets back to the European Union. The competition rules of the European Union ban any kind of industrial policy which favors the growth of your development of your own energy. Now, under de Gaulle, France grew tremendously industrially, because he had an industrial policy. Under the European Union, you can't have that kind of industrial policy. So the country gets poorer, and it has an advanced social welfare system, but that social welfare system has depended on the fact that the country is earning and is producing enough to pay for it. And if you break down the economy, and at the same time, and you're competing with Germany and other countries, in fact, you're competing with the whole world, it just doesn't work. And these are major issues. The war is a major issue. The economy, the basic economy is a basic issue. And these are the issues that are not being even discussed.
Well, not in a captured media, certainly. I don't imagine anybody is pressuring to get into France's nuclear power industry, though. They've lost their cheap supply of uranium from Africa. They've lost a lot of their colonial holdings in Africa, and the relationship that has been so beneficial to France economically is breaking down.
It doesn't just depend on that. I mean, you can find uranium. It doesn't depend on the resources. It depends on the know-how, and France has had that. They've allowed or helped China to get ahead because of the influence of the Greens.
But their nuclear industry didn't fold up like Germany's did. I mean,
No, it didn't. They've simply weakened it. But the point is that every time there's an international agreement, for instance, there's this thing about not producing CO2. This is a sacred rule of the save the planet notion. Well, nuclear power does not produce CO2. But Germany led the way for European Union not to consider nuclear a green energy, so it would not get any subsidies. Windmills get subsidies, and they don't do a goddamn thing to provide sufficient energy.
Diana, we're fast running out of time, and I feel we haven't really scraped the madness of King Macron or Macron-Leon.
It's not, you see, he's not that interesting. Emmanuel Macron or Starmer are the most uninteresting politicians you can imagine. And they're in power. They're totally unpopular. The point is that right now, this is a crisis of democracy, in the sense that democracy, bourgeois democracy, is simply not functioning. The media has prevented any really discussions. If you don't have a decent media, even a very political country like France is not discussing the basic issues in a serious way. And the quality of the politicians is mostly extremely mediocre.
Well, Diana, you're American, as I mentioned off the top. I'm talking to another American about what's going on in America politically. It's even a crazier shit show than what seems to be happening in France.
Well, it's more violent.
And how do you compare what's going on politically with, I mean, Trump? I guess nobody's ever accused him of being boring, but he certainly is a mediocre intellect. Do you see parallels between what's happening on both sides of the Atlantic?
Well, the parallel is that the left has been eliminated. A functional left that can win elections has been destroyed by its own foolishness, by its identity politics stuff, which doesn't interest the people. And so what you've had in Trump is a reaction against the failure of the left, which has brought in Trump, which is horrible, of course. I know, but it's. I mean, if the American left had seriously worked for a single payer health system, such as exists in Europe, had seriously gone after building social benefits, you wouldn't be in this state. But it didn't. It went after a whole lot of, you know, sort of social issues or
distractions.
Distractions. And so that there was, people have lost their interest in the left because the left has failed. And so you think that something else is going to be better. Here, you think that the idea is that if what we call the far right, which isn't that far right, because once they came, the Le Pen, Marine Le Pen's party, once it came out for Israel, it's no longer considered a fascist threat, right? Because it's pro-Israel against the Muslims and the terrorists. And so it seems all, if in the next election, it seems very probable that a very moderate version of, because she can't run right away legally. There's a big problem there. I'm not going to get into it. It could be somebody else.
Well, we talked about that in previous shows too.
And, yeah, and she exactly.
She's been iced out.
Well, yeah, that might, she might be back, but that's not clear at all. In any case, the point is, it starts like you voted for Trump because we haven't tried that before, and it's going to be the same with the national rally of Le Pen. Well, since they don't like anything there is, they'll go for that. Try something else. You see, it can be the something else impulse, because the left. Except for Mélenchon's party, which has very weak policies otherwise, but has a big following simply among people who are upset about Gaza. That's the only kind of enthusiasm you have, but it's only like maybe 15%. Whereas there's no enthusiasm for anybody else. These politicians are just reshuffling the deck.
Well, and meanwhile, the wars burn on, and the fire grows with intensity and expands from one place to the next.
Yeah. I was asking my grandson. I said, "Well, your colleagues and so, aren't they upset about Macron speaking about getting France into war with Russia?" And they say, but nobody takes them seriously. So you see, that's one, you see, there's a lack of politics. He can say he's going to be leading the arms to get against in Ukraine and sending arms in, and people don't pay any attention because they say, well, he just says anything. So you don't get any debate because they don't even believe what the politicians are saying.
Oh, that's insidious, and it's similar in this country, Canada, too. I get the feeling people don't pay attention to anything Mark Carney, our prime minister, Goldman Sachs banker and head of the Bank of England and Bank of Canada in his previous life. They don't believe anything he says about real issues, and we're going down the same toilet. Diana, it's always a joy to speak with you.
I'm sorry it's so bad.
Well,
it is.
I know. Dark days indeed. Again, Diana's book is Circle of Darkness, Memoir of a World Watcher. Where can people find that, Diana?
Well, try Clarity Press and publish, and they're preparing another book of me of collected essays. It's going to be called World Watcher.
Let me know. Let me know, Diana, when that comes out, and we'll talk again, okay?
Yeah, right.
Hopefully soon. Well, thanks a lot for coming on. Merci. And I want everyone else to stick around. I'm going to be back with Dave Lindorf. We're going to talk about what's going on in Chicago right now. Oh, yeah, Dan. Diana, you said that Macron is ready to take the stage at any moment to address the situation. What do you expect?
Frankly, I do not go into prophecies. I'll be quite surprised if he resigns as he's being urged to do. I think he has a choice of bringing in the socialists, Olivier Faure as a socialist prime minister, as another try to stay in power as long as he can, or dissolve the assembly for another election. But it won't improve things. I don't think that's going to break the deadlock.
It sounds like we're right back where we started. It's like a Groundhog Day in France. Thanks a lot, Diana. We'll talk again, eh?
Okay.
Bye-bye. When nothing is as it's presented.
It's a bit like discovering that your favorite uncle that's taken you for walks in the park, however, that he's really a serial abuser.
You need a different source. Guerrilla Radio, a century of news every Thursday and Saturday.